live forever with Jesus. Now, when Jesus came, it wasn't just for what's going to happen after we die, but to also give us eternal life that starts right now. And part of eternal life is living life the way He intended for it to be lived, relating to Him. And for a number of weeks, we've been talking about relating to each other. And so we relate to each other God's way. Now, the challenge of relating to others is that God is good, God is perfect, people are not. And so, but yet we're not supposed to give up on people, but we have to be biblical. We need to be careful about the people that we open up our hearts to and what we allow in our life. And so I want to share with you kind of a bit of review of what we've been talking about, but then to talk about when we are relating to each other. And we've been talking about that we guard our heart. We say no to the bad, but we say yes to the good. What happens when that doesn't happen? And why does that not happen sometimes? All right. And we want to see how God can help us to, in a sense, get that right. All right. So just to kind of review a bit here. We start with God. All right. God is good. God is wonderful. All right. You guys can go ahead and start. God is the creator of us. All right. So it starts with Him and it all goes back to Him. All right. Are we ready? Maybe I didn't give you enough time. Sorry about that. So God is the one who made us. Ian, tell me, talk to me. What's happening? We're okay? All right. All right. Just don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. All right. Here, just shut it off. Just shut it off. I'll do it without it. Okay. So we start with God, and God defines Himself, all right, of who He is, all right, that He is good, and that He is wonderful, and that He is kind, all right, and that there's stuff outside of God that doesn't belong to Him. Aren't you glad He's not a liar? All right. Aren't you glad He's not unfaithful? All right. And I know we make this statement, and I kind of agree with it, you know, that thank God, God can do anything. All right. And in a sense, He has all power, but He doesn't use that power for things that are outside of Him. All right. James tells us that every good and every perfect gift comes down from above. Right. That God does not tempt us with evil. Aren't you glad He doesn't do that? All right. So there are things that are within God and there are things that are outside of God. God is and God is not. All right. Then God created you and I, and He created us in His image. All right. What that means is that we are like Him. All right. So in being like God, similarly, there are things that are in us and that are things that are not in us. And we've been talking about a lot of the things that are in us are our responsibilities, all right? Things that are inside of us are things like our emotions, our thoughts, all right? Our beliefs, our actions, all right? And because those things belong to us, what that means is they don't belong to you. And yours don't belong to me, all right? So I'm responsible for those things that God has given me. There's a wonderful biblical concept called stewardship. And stewardship is that we are entrusted with something and then we manage what has been entrusted to us. Okay. So it's not ours. If you think of, you know, if you're a manager at a bank, all right, you're a steward of someone else's money. It's not your money. It's somebody else's money. And so a steward manages those things. So we manage our life with God, with the Holy Spirit, by the scripture. All right. So thank God we do that. Okay. But then we're not called just to be isolated. All right. So God reaches out towards us with grace, with mercy, with love, with kindness, all right? And we respond in faith, okay? So God does not, he doesn't make us love him, okay? And, but we respond to his love, all right? Guys, did you get it fixed by chance? Did you get it fixed? I think Chisha, y'all just hit start slideshow, right? Because I'd love to use this if we can. I'll give you one more. Just give it a couple more minutes here. We are Miracle Life family. Ah, miracles happen. Praise the Lord. There it is. Okay. Miracle Life. All right. So just kind of fast forward there a bit. All right. So God, keep going. Just go. All right. So we are, he gives us grace. We respond to him in faith. Okay. But our life is not just about us. All right. It involves other people. All right. And so in involving other people, God, and we're talking today about believers, okay, because the connections that we need to be making in our life, those are going to be, our primary connections are going to be with believers. All right. Now, we are to love the world. We are to witness to the world. We are to shine for the world. All right. But people that don't have Jesus Christ and don't have the grace of God, those should not be the people that are impacting your life. And let me just say this, and I know every three times a year we talk about pre-marriage, all those kinds of premarital stuff and everything like that. And I wish we didn't have to have this rule, all right, at Miracle Life. And that is, the person that you're going to be marrying needs to be a born-again Christian. I don't know why we have to have that rule. The reason why we have that rule is because, unfortunately, we've got some foolish members that think that they can have a lifelong commitment and covenant with someone that doesn't believe the Bible, that doesn't have the power and the love of God. You want a man to love you like Jesus Christ loves the church, and he doesn't even know you're Jesus. Huh? Thank God Pastor William does those interviews and not me. He has a higher quotient of mercy than I do. All right. So we're connecting, we're relating to one another, but these people that we're relating to, they also are receiving grace. They're giving God faith. All right. And so what happens is those people in our life, all right, we give grace and love and we receive grace and love. We put it this way in the new members class that a local church is a place where you can give and receive love. All right. So we need to have believers in our life where we're not just receiving, but we're also giving what God has given to us. All right. So the way it's supposed to work and the way it can work, all right, is that we open up our heart and we say yes to the good. All right. We say yes. We open up our heart. And when other people are bringing in good, grace, and love, we open up our heart and we receive that. All right. Because we don't just receive goodness from God. We receive it from the body of Christ, from one another. All right. But this doesn't happen all the time. All right. Next one. All right. So we open up our hearts. Okay. But that red line is bad. All right. Not everyone has God's plan and purpose for your life on their agenda. All right. There are people who are selfish. There are people who they're not looking to give love and mercy. They're looking to use you for their purposes. Or sometimes their life is just messed up. All right. And here's a problem is messed up people tend to mess up other people. You ever seen that? All right. So it's contagious. All right. And so, but what we do then is we guard our heart. And we guard our heart by saying no. All right. And so, someone is asking to do something towards you. Someone is asking you to do something that is not beneficial, that it's not helpful. And so we say no. I hope all of you, when you came to church, if you left your house alone, go back. If you left your life house alone, you lock the door, you close the gate, right? Because there's some bad people out there. So we have to take responsibility for our heart and for our life. And that is we close the door to certain things, and a certain, the bad that is in other people. Jesus did this. We gave you lots of examples of when Jesus did this. All right. Next one. All right. So we give grace to other people. Okay. Next one. By saying yes. All right. Or we other people can say no. All right. Next one. Okay. Now. Okay. Just hold it right here. All right. Now, sometimes. All right. So God's plan is that we open up to the good of other people and we say no to the bad. Now, what happens when that doesn't happen? All right. And as we discuss these things, I really don't want this just to be academic, but I want you to think about your own life. Okay. Because, and what you may have a tendency towards to do. Because what happens is we've all lived our life in a fallen world, and we've all lived, somewhat around people who are less than perfect. And I know some of you had the privilege of being brought up in a home where there was love, where there was respect, where people allowed you to grow and to become an adult. So that's awesome. But there's a whole lot of us where that didn't happen at 100%. Okay. I think you know the statistics that in our nation, out of 13 million people, we have over 1 million orphans. Okay, what does that mean? It means mom and dad, in one way or another, they're not around. Okay, so the way that God intended for that child to be raised, it's not God, the world and family, we've had to go to plan B. Right? And unfortunately, plan B doesn't always work out. I grew up in a home where there was a lot of alcohol. There was a lot of craziness. Then there was divorce. And that happened. All right. Now, but here's what I want to encourage you today is whatever happened to you in your past, whatever happened to you in your past, God can fix it. God can heal, but what is also going to have to happen is some of us, we have to learn to do new things, okay? And when we learn to do new things as an adult, let's just say it's awkward, okay? When we lived in South Africa, the guy that I was working for, Ed Elliott, he'd say, "Hey, Walker, come, let's go play golf." All right. He grew up literally playing with Jack Nicklaus's sons playing golf. So Ed was a fantastic golfer. I was zero. I was embarrassing. I'm still embarrassing. I was hideous. You wanted to hide people, hide your children, just get out of the way of this hideous display of golf, But he just, "No, come, Walker." So I got lessons but learning that at age, whatever that was, 28, 29, oh, it was painful. It was difficult. Had I wished I would have learned at age 5, age 6. But when I grew up, I thought golfers were nerds. They wore plaid pants and goofy hats and it wasn't cool. And so none of us learned how to play golf. Oh, Lord, had I wished we learned how to play golf when I was a kid. All right. And so, but some of us, we didn't grow up opening up our heart to the good. We didn't grow up closing our heart to the bad. And so life is now a little bit weird for some of us. And there's some things that either we're not receiving the best that's coming from other people, or we're opening up to some yuck. All right. And so God wants to help us. Now, so what happens? All right. So look at this scenario. All right. So you open up your heart to the bad of others. All right. So instead of saying no, you say yes. Now, what is this person called? This person is called a compliant. All right. A compliant says yes to the bad. All right. Now let's look at a couple scriptures along these lines with these folks. All right. A compliant. And again, turn with me to Proverbs 4. We quoted that, but let's look at it again. Proverbs 4, 23. Proverbs 4, 23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it, out of your heart, spring the issues of life. All right. So what happened to these people is they never grew up. They never got used to saying no. All right. And sometimes what has happened to some people in life is the fact of no, thank you. No, I don't want you to do that for me. No, I'm not going to do that for you. That no got damaged. All right. Now, it could have been damaged. There's a number of reasons why it could have. Some people's no got damaged because there was an abuser in their life. All right. Someone that either financially, sexually, emotionally, in some way or another, in a sense, didn't let them say no or force them into, you know, change the no to a yes. And so they got used to that. And so, you know, someone says, and so now we're adults and someone says, hey, what are you doing Friday night? And you know exactly what you're doing Friday night. You've planned what you're going to do Friday night. Well, hey, can you come over and do this? Yes. And you end up saying yes when you meant no. Someone says, hey, I'm have this financial situation. Can you loan me, you know, $5 million? And you know you can't. You know you don't have the money. And you want to say no. Can you loan me $5 million? Yes. Why'd you say yes? Because your no is broken. And then you go out and get a loan. Give them the money. You can't pay it. They don't pay you back. You can't pay it back. And now you're in trouble for them. You know, this happens all the time. All right. And sometimes that no was damaged by an authority figure. An authority figure. Maybe a teacher. Maybe a coach. Maybe a boss. Maybe a parent. Maybe a pastor. All right. And so they just say yes to everything, even though it's not good for their life. All right. The no was damaged. They do not obey Proverbs 4:23. This person does not guard their heart. Okay. Now, last week we saw where people, we looked at Galatians chapter 6, where we help people with the burdens and the boulders of their, or the pulpits. Remember the big pulpit that was on our brother. We help them overcome those hard things in life. But we all have a briefcase or a handbag or a knapsack where we carry our own responsibilities. All right. The compliant is carrying usually 20 knapsacks of other people's responsibilities. Why? Because when someone dumps on them, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. They just receive instead of saying no to what somebody else should be carrying for themselves. All right. So this person usually is controlled by fear. All right. This person is controlled by fear. Fear that if I say no, I will hurt the other person's feelings. Fear that I'll be I'll lose this relationship. This is very typical of a young lady who does not esteem and value her life. And she doesn't know how valuable and precious she is in the sight of God. And so a young man is in her life and he makes her feel valuable and special. And they go to the movies and he buys her stuff. And now all of her friends see her with this guy, right? And it makes her feel good, okay? And then he begins to put pressure on her sexually to go farther than is biblically right for a single person to do. And she wants to say no, but she says yes because she fears I might lose him. I might be separate. I might lose this wonderful benefit and this wonderful drug that he gives me. And so she turns her no into a yes. Sometimes people they say yes inappropriately because they're afraid of someone's anger. Their anger. You may have been in a home, you may have grown up in a home or been around people that you knew had a very short fuse. And you kind of tiptoed. If you lived in the home of an alcoholic, you know what this is like. Because you don't know how influenced they are. You don't know which if they're the happy drunk or they're the mad drunk. And so you kind of tiptoe and maybe you didn't cook the chicken just right and the chicken goes flying and curse words start coming. All right. And so you do everything because you are afraid of the anger that this person may spew at you. So you just say yes, 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 because you can't handle that anger. All right. Sometimes people they say yes to everything because they're afraid of punishment. Somebody's going to get them. They're afraid sometimes of being shamed that someone will know that I did this. The gossip rumor is going to start. Did you hear that they didn't do that? The pastor called for people to come to church tonight and pray and they're not coming. Did you hear? Yeah, I heard. They think they think they're spiritual, but they're not very spiritual. They're afraid of being shamed. Okay. So this person, sometimes the compliant, on the outside, they kind of look Christian. They give and they serve and it looks like they love, but on the inside, they're angry about it. They're bitter about it. The 2 Corinthians says we give from our heart. This person gives many times and serves out of fear. All right. Their fear, sometimes they're afraid of being seen as bad or selfish. All right. Sometimes in churches, this person says yes because they don't want to be seen as being unspiritual. All right. I really hope we don't have that culture at Miracle Life that you feel like you have to jump through hoops or perform to make other people do certain things. And again, it just grieves me that if you're in some places, you know, there are certain signs of being spiritual. Whether it's, you know, that you're dressed to the hilt, you know, and you just, everything is just perfect. And we should dress nice, amen? All right, we should honor the Lord. But that you feel like, you know, you've got to just come from a, Parisian fashion designer when you go to church, you know, and you're wearing a new hat every Sunday. Sometimes it's the way we move our hands or arms or, ooh, wow, no, there is a spiritual person. Woo, look at them, you know. And people feel that pressure, okay? They're afraid sometimes because of someone's criticism or their sternness. And so they know that no is the right decision, but they turn it into a yes. This person lives with a lot of fear, all right? Next scenario, what happens when things don't go right, all right? So here is someone, a godly person in your life, and they're bringing good. They're bringing grace. They're bringing mercy. All right. They're trying to help you with your boulder. They want to be a blessing in your life, but you keep your door closed. All right. Paul, we read this scripture. Paul said this to the Corinthians In 2 Corinthians 6:11, he says, "Oh, dear Corinthian friends, we have spoken honestly with you and our hearts are open to you. There is no lack of love on our part. We've got the yellow arrow going to you. But you have withheld your love from us. I am asking to you, respond as if you were my own children. Open your hearts to us." All right. This person doesn't do that. They don't open their heart to godly people and to things. So this person is called an avoidant. All right. Now, I mentioned to you that as I look at some of these weird things that can happen, I saw myself a lot in this. All right. Growing up in a single home, dad's gone. And I just kind of just realized I don't think people are coming to help me. I don't think that, I'm just going to kind of have to do that. So I didn't open my heart to other people. There were a lot of different things. And so I kind of just lived a solo life, a life. And sure, I'm around people and whatever, but to really open your heart and to have friends that know you and that you can be honest with. Amen. That was, one of the things that we lost in the garden when man sinned was, yes, their relationship was broken with God, but Adam and Eve started wearing fig leaves in front of each other. All right. They lost the intimacy with one another to be known and to know. All right. And so this person, maybe sometimes, in a sense, they've given up on the human race. All right. Maybe you had 2, 3, 4 bad experiences with men, and now all men are pigs. Men are evil. I'm gonna, power to the woman and forget men. All right. I'm just gonna live my life. Sometimes these avoidants, they are with a strong will, they're very successful. Self-made men. Self-made women. Very lonely. And when they need help, and they will need help one day, they don't have that structure in their life to reach out and receive. They haven't built relationships in their life of people that are walking by when the boulder is on top of them. Okay? They live graceless lives. There's a whole lot of grace out there in other people, but they're not connected to that for their life. All right? So, again, this person needs to open their door. All right. Next one. All right. So this one is a person. All right. That as they give. All right. They don't respect the boundaries of other people. They don't hear a no. They don't hear a yes. They're going to do what they want to do with another person. These persons are called controllers. Okay. Controllers. Well, let's just say, we saw, and we'll talk about this, but compliant people and controllers end up meeting. They either end up marrying each other, or they become friends, or they work for one another, or you get a pastor who doesn't respect people's boundaries, and they have a whole congregation of compliant people that they can just run over. Okay, so they change what they hear other people saying for their own self-interest. Now, here's the problem with this person. 1 Corinthians 13:5, one of the descriptions of the love of God is that love is not self-seeking. Self-seeking. Okay, these persons go into a relationship, they go into a situation about what they can get out of it, all right? There was a cartoon where, growing up, where, this person is, obviously the chickens and the pigs, they can talk, and they can talk to coyotes and to cowboys, and everybody can talk or whatever. And so the chickens are all good, all right? And this chicken is having an interaction with somebody, and they're talking, but then the little cloud goes up above this guy's head, all right, of what he's thinking, and he doesn't see a chicken that talks and has feelings and stuff. He sees a roasted chicken with steam and, And he begins to see this chicken as a chicken they can eat. And that's what a controller is like. They don't see people. They see roasted chickens. They see, what I can get. When they meet you, what goes above your head is a dollar sign or a pound or a quattro rebase sign. They just see, you are my aunt. You are money for me. Okay. What are you going to do for me? All right. So controllers, they can be, and there's two types of controllers. All right. There are controllers that are aggressive. They're bullies. All right. And they are either bullies verbally, physically, with threats. Let me hold my tongue. They threaten. Okay. And it's obvious. And so the motive is fear. All right. But then there are other controllers, and these are harder to manage because they don't come out with that fear. They are subversive. They are manipulative. All right. They tend to use more emotions. Can you loan me that $1,000? Well, I love you, but I'm not in a position right now. And my answer is going to be no. Really? Okay, well, I was praying about it, and God showed me people that have lots of love and that are kind, and your name came to my mind, but maybe I missed it. Maybe you're not as kind and loving as you were in the dream. But hey, it's okay. It's okay. I don't want to put any pressure on you, but I'll be praying for you that you have more love and here's a book on love and here's a scripture on love and I'm going to text you about love. They're manipulative. manipulative controllers. There are a lot of Christians that are this way. Because they use scripture to back up their selfishness. Okay. They're not a lot. I praise God. They're not a lot of bully pastors. There's a few, but they're very, I've been working with pastors for 20 years. I love pastors. All right. And there are not too many bully pastors. But there are a few that are manipulative. All right. Well, hey, you can leave the church. It's fine. The last couple that left the church, they were in a car wreck. They lost their job and their some sickness. But hey, don't let me stop you, Go ahead, get out under the umbrella, the supernatural covering of protection that only I in this whole city have for your life. But hey, it's okay. We release you, but I would hate to see what happened to you. All right. All right. 1 John 4:18 says this, there is no fear in love. There is no fear in love. And so our relationships with one another should be characterized by the love of God. All right. And it should not be characterized out of fear. All right. These are sometimes spiritual al-Qaedas. All right. They use fear and intimidation to get their way. Okay. Some that are aggressive, and those are easy to spot. Others that are more manipulative. Okay. Then lastly, when things go wrong, all right. A non-responsive is someone, so others have boulders, they have needs in their life, they're real, they're legitimate. We have grace, they have needs, and there's no arrow. Why is there no arrow? Because nothing's happening. Right? You have a friend, and they're going through a tough time. They're not manipulating you. They have a need, and there's something that you have that you can help them with. Nothing happens. Non-responsive. Philippians 2:4 says this. Each of you, each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Okay? Let each of you not only look out for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. So, are we supposed to be responsible for our own life? Know what's in our handbag? Yes. But that's not all of our life. Is not only about us. It is to help and to lift and to be a blessing to other people. All right. Now, go forward one. All right. Now, I want to talk to you and then go forward the compliant. All right. They say yes to the bad, and then go forward two more to the controller. All right. Now, it's my experience, and especially in Christian circles, these two people get together far, far too often. Okay? Because remember we talked about the compliant lives in fear. Fear of what people are going to say. Fear of losing a relationship. Fear, 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 fear. The controller uses fear. So they have fear to give, and they find people who are motivated by fear, and that magnet, that ungodly connection happens. Okay? It's not always man-woman romantic kind of thing. It can be friends. All right? So, they find each other. All right? Listen to this from 2 Corinthians 9. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7. All right? You must each decide in your heart how much to give. You must decide in your heart how much to give. Now, this is talking about money. It can apply to anything in life. All right? What we have to be a benefit, the grace that's in us to our time, our treasure, our talents, our attention. All right? You must decide in your heart how much to give. So who decides what you give? You do. Not your pastor. Not your auntie. You decide what you give. Because unless you decide, it's not a gift. It's been taken from you. All right? It was manipulated out of you. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully. All right? So, those that might have a tendency for compliant, check your heart for the cheerfulness measure. Hey, I need a loan. Hey, can you help me have a, I need a lift. Hey, can I stay at your house? Hey, will you come over and pray? They're not all, none of, it doesn't have to be bad things. Right? Check how cheerfully you are when you respond to it. Okay. And compliant people are really good at putting on a happy face. Okay, praise the Lord. And on the inside, you are, you regret it. Because listen. If you give without cheerfulness from your heart, if you give in response to pressure, you've disobeyed the Bible. Oh, but pastor, time out. I don't know where anyone thought that following Jesus and following his word would make everyone in your life happy. That all of everyone that knows you will fall in love with you when you start obeying the Bible. No. Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace. I brought a sword. And he was talking about relationships. This is going to get messy. When you start obeying God, when you start obeying him, well, I just want everyone to love me. You need to give up on that dream. You need to give up on that dream. You need to get so full of God's love towards you and have some good people around your life, and they love you, and so that if you do something that someone else doesn't love, that's okay. I'm on F. I'm on full. And you don't like me, or
Someone said something bad about me on Facebook. And it's pretty crazy out there, right? Listen, folks, there is no Bible promise that the whole world will love you. There's no Bible promise. Everyone in the Bible, most people that obeyed Jesus, they got in trouble for obeying. It made Herod mad. It made Nero mad. It made somebody mad. Now, don't go out to get people mad. All right? But you do the right thing. You obey God. You live by Scripture. You guard your heart. You give where it's appropriate. You help get boulders off. Amen? You be a blessing to other people. All right? Now, what I'm asking you to do today, and here's the thing. There are a lot of people who are compliant. But the thing is if there weren't controllers, then we wouldn't have as much of the issues either. For every compliant, there's a controller out there. All right? And again, maybe you were leaning more towards me as an avoidant. Maybe you are someone that doesn't listen to the needs that other people have. All right? But here's the thing. I want you to be honest with your heart right now. Okay? I want you to be honest. And I want you to say, Lord, and probably some of you already know, Lord, do I have a tendency to be one of these ways? Because if it is, it's ungodly. It's not like Jesus. All right? And I've told you, I've had to come to terms with some of these things in my own life. All right? And change is sometimes difficult, sometimes painful. But it produces godliness. It produces fruit. Amen? All right, now we'll close with this verse. Romans 12:18. Romans 12 and verse 18. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. If it is possible, meaning with some people, it might not be possible. But I want you to look at this phrase, as much as depends on you. As much as depends on you. And I want us to take some time in prayer and to say, Lord, I want you to deal with my heart right now. And I want you to show me what depends on me. If I've kind of let a lot of people run me over, well, what depends on me is I'm going to have to lovingly and respectfully say, no, this is not okay. If you have been a controller, you've manipulated, you need to repent and say, Lord, as far as it is up to me, it depends on me. By your grace, I'm changing that behavior. If you've been burned in the past through other people, you've given up on the human race, and you avoid love, you avoid honesty, you avoid people knowing really who you are, you need to repent. You need to repent and say, Lord, this I'm not living life the way you intended. If you are narcissistic and you're selfish and life is all about you and you never reach out and touch and help other people, you need to repent today. All right. Now, repentance is a wonderful word. And what it means is this. You get to change. All of us, if you've ever driven a car for any length of time, you've had a time where you realized, I'm on the wrong road. This doesn't look familiar, right? And the wonderful thing about a car is it has this little letter called R. You get to park it, reverse it, turn around, and go back the right way. Amen? And so God wants there to be multiple times in our life where we go, whoa, 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 wait a second. This isn't the way. This isn't God's way. This is the wrong road. I'm going to stop and I'm going to turn and go another way. Now,
I think what all of us, when we think about, especially in our relationships, that we're going to turn or we're going to do it the right way, so many times we get like Peter when Jesus was about to leave, and we say, well, what about John? If I change, what about my spouse? If I do things, what about my boss? As far as it depends on you, their life does not depend on you. Their repentance does not depend on you. Wouldn't it be cool if it did? But it doesn't. There's no remote controls. There's no zappers. There's no love potion. You say, Lord, I'm taking responsibility for my life. I need to do relationships based on your word in a godly, a mature, an adult way. And Father, if I've been opening up my heart or closing my heart in inappropriate ways, I'm taking responsibility for that right now. Would you bow your head with me? Would you bow your head with me? Father, I am so thankful that you help us and that you sent the Holy Spirit to be our teacher, to be our comforter, to guide us into all truth, all right? To guide us. And right now, I thank you that, and Lord, there's a lot of different angles and material that we've looked at this morning. But Lord, I believe that there's something that resonates with us. There's something that the Holy Spirit, the teacher, is saying, hey, that's for you. You need to listen to that. You need to hear that. Lord, maybe you've been trying to let us hear through other people. Maybe, Lord, we haven't even seen it in the circumstances of our life. But Lord, we take time right now because we want our relationships to honor you. We want them to be godly. Father, we want them to be full of grace and life. And Lord, but we also want to protect our life from what's wrong. So Father, right now, I ask you, Holy Spirit, personalize these scriptures, these words right now to the hearts of everyone that's in this auditorium. Speak to us right now. Speak to us right now. What I'd ask you to do is, you came with a bulletin, maybe you bring a notebook to church, but I'd ask you to, right now, I want you to write that down. I want you to write down where you feel like, you know what? I might have tendencies. I might be a compliant person. I might be a controlling person. I might be avoiding grace and love. I might not be responding to the needs and the boulders that are in other people's lives. And just jot that down. All right. This is just, and please don't look what the person next to you is writing. This is just between you and the Lord. But to say, hey, Lord, you know what? I see it. I see it. I'm aware of that. Maybe other people have been trying to tell me this. And friend, I would tell you right now, if you are in one of these areas and it's a little bit severe, this is probably one of the great sources of the pain in your life today. It's one of the sources of the yuck that you've been experiencing. I can say that without reservation for my own life. The wonderful thing about God is through repentance, through mercy, tomorrow can be different. Tomorrow can be different. Here's the next thing I'd ask you to do with the Lord right now. What's the next step? What do I do right now? For some of you, it's you need to have a conversation of no. Boyfriend, get out of my flat. Auntie, get out of my money. friend, stop telling me what to do. You need to have that conversation. For some of you, you need to open up and reach out. And there's some people that you've neglected in your life. And you've lived a very selfish life. You need to reach out and touch them and help them and be a blessing. For some of you, you need to respect the people that are around you. You've been a bully. You've been a manipulator. And it needs to stop. So stop. Respect other people. Respect who God made them. They weren't put on planet Earth for your purpose. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. And some of you that have been lonely, some of you that have, maybe you've been mad at the world, reach out to godly people. Reach out to godly people. They're there. They're there. Call them up. Say, hey, can we have coffee? Can I have lunch? Hey, I just want to talk to you. Open up your heart. Take that step. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father. Lord, for all of us, Lord, we live in such a fallen and dangerous world, Lord. And you warned us and you said, don't let the world squeeze you into its image. Don't be conformed to its way of living and its autopilot of how it goes. The norms, the cultures of today. Father, we're to come up higher and to live by your word and to live by your principles. Father, help us. Give us the courage to do the right thing because it's the right thing. Lord, we submit our lives. And I just want to remind each and every one of you, if you're a believer, you're bought with a price. It is our daily deal to offer our body as a willing sacrifice. Lord, be glorified. Lord, work in my heart. Work in my life. Change me. Modify. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Let me just say this by the Spirit of God right now. There's some people in this room that your heart and your life has been so damaged and so abused. And on the inside, you feel like a train wreck. And there have been people that have been so cruel to you. It happened. But today, in Jesus' name, you can do something. You can do something. You can do something. And it's not to get them back. It's not to see their life become a train wreck. It's to get healed. It's to get the pieces put back together. God says by the Spirit of God, it is fixable to Him. Nothing is impossible to the God who made the earth, who stretched out the heavens, who made you. He can create in you a clean heart. He can make all things brand new. And He wants you to take Him up on this offer today. He can fix it. He can rearrange your life. Don't be filled with shame. So much of what happened against you wasn't your fault. You were hurt. But today you can reach out to the God who is all grace, who is all love, and you can find help. You can find mercy. It's fixable today in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. With every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around. Sound booth ushers, please don't. If that word was for you, raise up your hand. If that word was for you, raise up your hand. Yeah. Who else? Yep. Who else? Yep, yep. Who else? Yep, yep. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Now, this is just my heart. This is my heart. You can put your hand down. To those heads bowed, eyes closed, those of you that lifted up your hand,
Most of the time, you need some people with grace in them to help you. This church is filled with people full of grace. You need help. Let us give it to you. Let us get you hooked up with the right people that can pour in the oil and the wine, that can see that brokenness mended. He will give you beauty for ashes. A bruised reed He will not break. A wick that is smoldering He will not cut off. Your life is valuable. You can make it with Him. But I would ask you, please, please, contact us. We'll have people here that are will pray for you this morning. But let us help you. Amen. Before we go right now, every head bowed, every eye closed. There is a God of all grace, and He is good, and He made you. And He is reaching out to you right now in love and in mercy. The Bible says He stands at the door of every man's heart and He knocks. And if you'll open up, He'll come in. If you don't know Jesus Christ, if He's not your Lord and Savior, you can open up to Him. You can open up. You can open up your door and say, Jesus, come in. Be my Lord and Savior. If you're a backslidden Christian, you can open up and receive forgiveness. You can have new life. Your life can be restored. If that's you and you say, I don't know Jesus, I need to know Him, I need to come home to Him, raise up your hand right now. Say, I want to receive Jesus. I want to come home to Him. You can right now. Today is your day. It's the day of salvation. God bless you in the back. Who else? Say, today is my day of salvation. I'm coming home to Him. God bless you. Anybody else? Yes, over here. Anyone? Say, that's me. Don't leave this place without receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior. Amen. Can we all stand? Can we all stand to our feet right now? You lifted up your hand, you say, I want to open up my life to Jesus Christ. I want Him to be my Lord and my Savior. You lifted up your hand, or you should have lifted up your hand. All right? Right now, grab whatever you brought with you and come and meet me up front. Come and meet me up front. God is going to come into your life. He's going to make everything new, and He's going to be good to you. Amen. He's going to save you. God bless you. God bless you. He loves you. You lifted up your hand, or you should have lifted up your hand and say, I want to receive Jesus Christ. Amen. I think there was one or two others. We'll wait for you. You're important to God. Don't leave here. Don't leave here without making this decision. Amen. Amen. God bless you, sir. God bless you, sir. All right. Yep, they're coming. Good, good, good. How are you? Good to see you. Now, if I was going to give you this Bible, and it belonged to me, but I wanted you to have it, all right, how would you get it? All right, you'd reach out and receive it. And so God has forgiveness. He has a brand new life for you. And so He paid for it, but He wants to give you that today. And so I want to lead you in a prayer that you'll receive that. Are you ready to do that? You ready? Just go ahead and close your eyes and lift up one of your hands towards heaven. Say this with me. Say, God, I believe Jesus is your Son. He died on the cross and was punished for me. You raised Him from the dead so that I could know You. I give You my heart, my whole life. Come and live Your life in me. Thank You, Jesus. I belong to You. I don't belong to the devil. I turn away from every sin, from every wrong thing. I follow You now. In Your name, amen. 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 Well, we believe something.